Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Conroe. Welcome to our midweek podcast once again. I am recording this on Wednesday, August the 5th. It's good to have you at least with me over the airwaves. Once again, I'm sounding like a broken record, but man, oh man, our food pantry volunteers outdid themselves once again this morning. We had a huge group of neighbors who showed up needing help with food assistance. And in our prayers today, I want us to keep all of those in our community and neighborhoods who've lost jobs and incomes, and they're experiencing need really for the first time, need for assistance. And it's a good thing that we can be here and be part of the solution. Also in our prayers, we want to continue to remember Walt Welborn recovering from heart surgery. Keep Ann Knight in your prayers. She is ill. And then I want for you to keep in your prayers Debbie Blackburn's daughter-in-law, Mary, who is battling cancer. And I know there are others whom we need to pray for. And if you have prayer concerns, please call the church office and let us know, and we will list those concerns. You know, we've been studying the book of Acts, and when we ended last week, Saul had become Paul, and he was starting out in his ministry, but things didn't go well right off the bat, because he went to Jerusalem, and the apostles and the new Christians there would have nothing to do with him. It says they were afraid of him. But there was a guy named Barnabas, and Barnabas, we find out, was Mark's cousin. Yes, St. Mark, who wrote the gospel. And Barnabas knew Paul and took him to the apostles and introduced him. And they let him in the fold, and he started his ministry there. Well, right after that, we read about a guy named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a centurion in the Italian cohort or Italian regiment. And Cornelius had a dream. And in his dream, he was supposed to seek out a man named Peter, and that Peter would have something to say to him from God. That's all he knew. He was to expect a visit from Peter. Well, Peter, on the other hand, had no idea about Cornelius. And Peter, at this time, did not believe that Gentiles could be accepted into the new church. He still believed that you had to be Jewish to be Christian. But he had a vision. Peter had a vision, a dream, and in it like a sheet was let down from heaven, and things poured out of it to eat. And it was everything that he was allowed to eat, but it was also, you know, maybe it was also some bacon and some shrimp cocktail and some other foods that he could not eat as Jewish. They just didn't pass Jewish muster. And so he said in this vision, "No, I cannot eat those." And the vision said back to him, God talking to him, said, "God has made these things clean, so you may eat them." And Peter understood what that meant. He understood it as meaning that no longer could they just claim the Christian faith for Jewish believers. And about that time, at Peter's door, emissaries from Cornelius, the Italian cohort, showed up and asked Peter to come witness to Cornelius. So Peter went with them, having had this dream, and went with the Italian cohort's representatives, and he went to the home of Cornelius, and he witnessed to him, and Cornelius became the first Gentile Christian. And we read in chapter 10, as Peter is at the home of Cornelius, and listen to this. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses to all he did, both in Jerusalem and beyond." But when Peter went back to Jerusalem, there were still those who believed that you had to be Jewish in order to be Christian, and they got on Peter. But when Peter explained about his dream and his vision and how God had convinced him that, yes, indeed, Gentiles could be baptized into the faith, that was really sort of the beginning of the first schism in the early church, because there were people who kept believing that you had to be Jewish to be Christian. But the new Christian Gentiles were spreading the faith faster than the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And it was about at this time that the persecution that had begun with, remember Stephen and how he preached so mightily, but he was stoned to death? Well, that persecution spread. And in that time, Herod, the king, it says he laid violent hands upon those who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, and then he saw that that pleased the Jews in Jerusalem. So he proceeded to arrest Peter also. But we find as Peter was in prison, there was another miracle, and there was a midnight miracle, and Peter was able to leave the jail. He left, and the guards didn't notice. And we read at the end of this, the 12th chapter, the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. So Mark went with Barnabas and Paul, who started preaching. And this was when the church really began to grow fast. Paul began establishing churches all over that part of the Herod's world, and also as far away as Perga in Pamphylia. And we read in chapter 13, "The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted what was spoken by Paul and reviled him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you, since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth.'" It's important to remember that when Paul and Barnabas entered the villages and towns, most of the people there would not have even heard of Jesus of Nazareth. They were that far away from Jerusalem. So it is amazing that the young church was able to grow and thrive and prosper under Paul's leadership. And so many new congregations were established apart from those original Christians in Jerusalem. And I hope this gives you some idea of, even though the early church grew rapidly and spread with new congregations almost weekly, that it did not happen without some degree of turmoil and division within the earliest times of the Christian faith. And we have been arguing about beliefs and structure and who's in and who's out ever since Peter and Paul. And that carries us, about halfway through the book of Acts. For next week, read starting with chapter 14 and read three or four chapters, and we will continue the saga of the early history of the church. Oh, by the way, I want to invite you. You know, this past Sunday we had communion in the Garden of Gethsemane, and everyone enjoyed it so much. They said, well, can't we do at least this every Sunday? And I always believe in counting the yes votes. So let's start this coming Sunday, and we will take communion in the garden. And we'll start it earlier. We're going to start at 9:30, so it won't be quite so warm. And so this Sunday at 9:30, come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we will have a time of prayer. We will share communion together. We will sing a couple of songs and share a little fellowship together that we have missed so much. I look forward to greeting you then. Have a good day. God bless.